We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Authentic Brand and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with almost 50 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast, presented each week by Kansas Land Tire and by Authentic Brand Apparel. The Wildcats of Kansas State are 4-2. They are 4-1 in the Big 12 following last Saturday's loss in Morgantown to a really good West Virginia team. 37-10 was the final. K-State returns home this week to take on Oklahoma State, and we'll talk about both of those games on the program today. I'm Wyatt Thompson. Stan Weber on the other end of the line here, the longtime color analyst for the Wildcats and former K-State quarterback and safety. Stan, we knew going into Morgantown that West Virginia was a tough and physical defensive team. I think we saw that. But one thing that we saw that probably was just too much to overcome was West Virginia's offense. That particular day, they were pretty good.
They really were. We knew that they had the capabilities across the board. Letty Brown's a very good running back. You could count on him getting 100 yards a game. And he was not the only threat in the backfield. So you start with that and you say, well, you know, they have a good chance of running the ball. Alex Sinkfield can hurt you. I was impressed with the offensive line and what they've done. We said it, Jarrett Diggie is a quarterback who will fight and claw and do things to help his team win, solidifies the football team. We saw that last year at the end of the year and then throughout this year. But the thing is, they just did not make any mistakes. They're a team that has a lot of penalties, and they didn't get penalties. They didn't turn over the football in the ball game, even though they go into the game having lost 8 turnovers and had a negative turnover margin. They didn't turn over the ball against K-State. So the thing that you're talking about, Wyatt, is not only did they do the things that you would expect, they just cut out all the mistakes and played better. And I thought the ball was delivered very accurately by Jarrett Diggie. They have a good core of receivers. And they got the things done. And then that along with a defense that is very, very good. You look at what they've done throughout the season, Wyatt, and West Virginia on defense has not allowed anybody to get more than 350 yards in total offense in any game. So you knew that there were going to be a hard out there. And then K-State had turnovers. And they don't normally have turnovers. And in this game, they had 3 interceptions. So you know you're fighting a tough defense. And if you turn it over 3 times, suddenly you're going to have a hard time scoring points against West Virginia.
It really was a frustrating start to the game, too, because K-State was picked in their first possession. Then on their second, they drive down, have a really good drive, have it first and goal at the 2, but have to settle for 3. I guess my point is they had their chances early, and it just didn't work out for whatever reason, and that in part 2 made it turn into a very long day.
Yeah, and I think that's a theme when you evaluate football that's not talked about enough, is that you get some opportunities in a game. And when the game's all said and done and the analytics people go to work, you know, you have your number of possessions a game. You're going to get about 12 possessions a game somewhere in there. And when you do that, Wyatt, there are going to be certain times where you have a chance to score. And everyone wants to look at the chances in the fourth quarter when you're making those two-minute drives and things like that using your timeouts. But really, when you think of it from an analytics standpoint, there are 12 drives, and you're going to get your times where you get chances to score. You've got to take advantage of them, and sometimes they're early in the game, and they can create momentum. And that's exactly what happened to K-State. First and goal at the two-yard line, a very good drive for the Cats, moving the ball down the field. And here they are in a position to score a touchdown, and they have to settle for a field goal. Later, West Virginia went through the same thing. So you could wipe out the first quarter and say, well, maybe it didn't hurt that bad that K-State didn't have that 7-point touchdown because the game was still tied. Well, then you go to the next opportunity. Now you're in the second quarter, and K-State has the football in West Virginia territory and ends up not scoring and miss a field goal. So instead of having up to 14 points, no less than six, and a lead, Wyatt, it's 3-3. Mm-hmm. And that's when West Virginia took off. So what happens if you would have had a 7-0 lead? What dynamics would that have affected about the confidence for K-State to spark? Because I didn't think they had the spark at the beginning of the game. K-State did not play like themselves in the first part of the game at all. And maybe if they would have scored a touchdown, that might have been able to be turned around. If they would have had 14 points by early second quarter, you know, who knows what would happen. K-State would have been in a very good situation. But instead, they sat there with three, and suddenly West Virginia got opportunities to score. And guess what? When they had their opportunities to score, they scored touchdowns, and that's when they separated.
Yeah, really good football team defensively, as we mentioned, but offensively that day they did what they needed to do, and as Stan talked about, very few, if any, mistakes, no question about that. So now you turn the page, or try to pretty quickly, and Stan, it's been a strange week because the Cats come back. Usually Sunday's a day off, but they practice Sunday evening because they were off Tuesday for Election Day. Do you put anything on that it could upset the apple cart? And I know it isn't just K-State, it's every team across the country, but routine is a big deal in the game of football. I'm just curious as to what you thought about that.
Yeah, every coach in the country is trying to be respectful about having to take Tuesday off and saying they're going to try to work around it. So it's obviously a challenge, and everybody's trying to address it. You do have a normal routine. Mostly it's your body recovery, Wyatt. You don't want to get out there on Sunday and have to do too much, and then Monday have to hit, where usually you hit on Tuesday and Wednesday. If you're going to do physical contact practice at all, that's when you get it done. And that's pretty good because you get a rest from the Saturday events. Your body feels pretty good. You go through that, and then you rest up and go to the ball game. So if you're taking a sequence out of line and you're beating up on the body at all when the body's not healed enough for a couple of days, then it might affect things. So that's the real risk right now, is did you not recover well enough, or did you have to skip some of the physicality on a Sunday or Monday practice? Those things could come into play. But this year, Wyatt, I don't think it's as much of a factor. I think that they knew it was coming. It's a year of COVID. Everything's wild and crazy. They've gotten so used to doing things differently. And when you think about class and that, you know, most of these students are taking online classes. Not a lot of them are going to be on a class schedule that throws them off. So I think having a Tuesday off day versus a Sunday off day is probably something that they can work through. And with K-State losing their game, I think it's probably good that you turn the page. Whenever you are in a grind of a football season, when you lose games, the fans can feel all the pains, but the players and coaches can't. They've got to turn the page and get moving on. And it's good to do that. You know, I know you love baseball, Wyatt, and one of the great things about baseball, you lose on Tuesday night and, oh, got a game on Wednesday. You know, you don't have to think about it, where the NFL players got to wait a whole week to be asked questions and all of that. It's nice to just get back to work. So I think it's going to be okay for K-State. I don't think that's going to have any effect on how they play this Saturday.
I wanted to ask you about Drew Wylie. We're going to feature him, I think, on our pregame show on Saturday. And he's just playing such great football right now. I want to read his stat line from the game with West Virginia. And I understand it was a 37-10 loss, but for a defensive tackle to have 7 tackles, 4 solos, a sack, 2.5 tackles for loss, that's a pretty extraordinary day against that team. Just kind of give me a sense of your thoughts on Drew, who's now a senior from Vinton, Iowa, and he's been around a long time, but this is his first year as a starter. He's been special.
He really has, Wyatt. And when I got toward the end of last week, I was going through an analysis and saying, okay, this K-State defense, they'll play 20 guys legitimately in big-time stressful situations. They all play, you know, at a pretty high level. The defense is coming around. So who would I say is the MVP or the best player on the K-State defense? And I started asking myself the question and talking to others who would know the answer as well into K-State football. And you always got to say, well, Wyatt Hubert's first team all Big 12. You got to get him into the conversation. Jerron McPherson is a national player of the week at one point this year and is just playing strong safety so well. You say, you know, he could easily be in the conversation. A.J. Parker's really hit it hard moving to the nickel. Have him in the conversation. But the winner in my analysis was Drew Wiley. I said, I think Drew Wiley's playing the best of any K-State defender. Well, it's easy for me to say that now because Chris Kleiman came out this week in his media opportunity and said that Drew Wiley's been playing the best of the K-State Wildcats on defense. So it's kind of funny. I went through this equation late last week, Wyatt, asking myself, going, I like what K-State's doing on defense, but who's the best one so far? Who's playing at the highest opportunity to be all Big 12? And it was Drew Wiley. So, Wyatt, we came into the season wondering on the front wall of K-State, you know, how would the Wildcats be at defensive tackle? Eli Huggins and Drew Wiley, Jalen Pickle, Robert Hintz, you know, they have not had much experience or opportunity playing for the Wildcats because Trey Deshaun and Jordan Mitty just held that position so well last year for K-State and did a good job. So I was wondering about that. We spent so much time talking about the offensive line, but I go, what about the defensive tackle position? You know, what level of player are we going to get? How hard is it going to be to play at the level that we saw Mitty and Deshaun play last year? So I think one of the biggest surprises on the team is that how Drew Wiley, Eli Huggins, and Jalen Pickle have played that position and made it a strength. Not only are they recovering from where they were last year, they're continuing it on and maybe even playing at a higher level. And it's led by Drew Wiley. So what an amazing story, Wyatt, a kid from Iowa who's really hardly played and been exposed to it and now has come in and has just held the middle of that defensive front so well. I couldn't give him more compliments. But that whole defensive tackle group has probably exceeded expectations as much or more than any position group on the football team, other than if you want to say Deuce Vaughn. Who knew that Deuce Vaughn would be this good, right? I mean, you couldn't say that. So take Deuce out of the equation for just a second. And I think Drew Wiley and Eli Huggins, they've really stepped up. And congratulations to Drew. He's doing it game after game too, Wyatt. He was disruptive against West Virginia, but he's been disruptive every game.
Yeah, he's been super, no doubt about that. So K-State at 4-2, 4-1 in the Big 12 will turn their attention now to Saturday's home game against the Oklahoma State Cowboys, and we'll have it for you starting at 1 o'clock on Saturday on the pregame show on the K-State Sports Network from Learfield IMG College, and we'll talk about the Pokes in just a moment. But we remind you now, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between, Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. And Authentic Brand is the official apparel provider of the K-State Sports Network. Shop for K-State gear at authentic-brand.com. Well, the Cowboys lost for the first time in conference play last week at home, losing to Texas in overtime, 41-34. So the Pokes will come into this game 4-1 overall. Pardon me, 3-1 in conference play. And Stan, it was amazing that that game played out the way it did. We mentioned on the show last week, you got to at least give Texas a shot in this game, and it turned out to be so. You kind of wonder now how a really talented Oklahoma State team responds, but with that veteran group and that coach, I'm going to guess they'll be ready to roll in here on Saturday.
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, how much of a difference will that game result matter? I thought West Virginia came back and bounced back from the same type of game where they were probably the better team, but just did a couple things wrong, fumbled a ball that got scooped by Texas Tech. So they came off a loss, and they really did a good job of cleaning things up and playing at a higher level against K-State, right? I mean, Neil Brown, the head coach of West Virginia, said it's the most complete game that his team has played in 2 years. It was their best game, and that's what K-State went up against. How much of a chance is there that Oklahoma State will do the same thing in a game where they were better down after down, it seemed like to me, over and over again? Little mistakes, crazy things occur, give up a kickoff return for a touchdown, and suddenly it's Texas winning at the end of the ballgame instead of Oklahoma State. What will that do to OSU? Will they clean up their game like West Virginia did and play at a higher level, and we see the best of them this week? Or does it affect their confidence a little bit? Do they have a few questions and wonder? And this is a team that hasn't had a ton of success in Manhattan. Now, these players are not the only player. You know, a lot of players represent Oklahoma State over time, but Mike Gundy's been there. And 9 of the last 11 times that Oklahoma State has come to Manhattan, Wyatt, K-State's won the game. And sometimes it didn't make all the sense in the world. Remember when Tyreek Hill came here and was a feature guy that got the football in the passing game and the running game as a running back down after down, and K-State still controlled the game. 2 years ago, K-State played really well against Oklahoma State and just went to work in the second half, trailing 6-3 at the half, took off and dominated and won 31-12. So what effect will there be that Oklahoma State's not played well in Manhattan, just like K-State struggled against West Virginia recently? So we got two things cutting the exact opposite directions, you know, and I don't know if Oklahoma State will be able to clean up their game. But if you just cut all that out and say, what is Oklahoma State? They're very good, Wyatt. Very sound on a defensive front. Jim Knowles, the defensive coordinator in his third year, really has a system in place of playing man-to-man, bringing heat, keeping you off balance, having rushers come from everywhere, all angles, slot blitzes. He tries to dictate to you and create big plays for his team. And then on offense, you just got everything you would want. You know, you got a good offensive line, superstar wide receiver in Tylan Wallace. Remember, 145 yards and 8 receptions against K-State last year. You got a quarterback in Spencer Sanders that you believe in. It's a dual threat. He can run. He's in his second year starting. You got Chuba Hubbard, who against K-State ran for 296 yards last year. He's back, and he may not even be the best back. L.D. Brown might be. I mean, they've got everything that you could want on the offensive side. They're playing high-level defense, a lot like West Virginia. So they really are the real deal. If they play their best, they are a hard team to beat for anybody around in the Big 12 and maybe further into the country.
Let's go back to the Texas-Oklahoma State game for a moment. It seemed like Texas, you know better than I, but Texas did a pretty good job on Chuba. He had 72 rushing yards in 25 tries. But in taking that away, it opened up a little bit for Tylan Wallace, who had an 11-catch day. Was that factual, and is that the right approach? Can you try to take one guy away? Because it's tough. I don't think you can just totally take the one guy out, but I do believe that's what Texas tried to do. How did you see that?
Yes, one thing, Texas has a physicality up front, some big guys, and like you mentioned in pregame last week, a big returning player to be back in the lineup. And, you know, the thing that's weird about Chuba Hubbard, Wyatt, is the young man is a sprinter from Canada, first-team All-American last year. His longest play this year is 32 yards. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. I mean, you think back last year how often he exploded. He had runs of 53, 44, and an 84-yard touchdown against K-State alone, and he's sitting there with his longest run of 32. So it's partially Texas doing a good job, and it's partially he just hasn't hit on those runs yet this year. But Tylan Wallace, you know, you can't go double-team him every play of the game. And there's a couple of reasons. If they know what's coming, then they just attack you in other places, right? I mean, that's pretty simple. So you got to mix it up. The other thing why it is, when we say double a player, okay, I want to make this point here. Strategically, you can get your X's and O's out and say, we're going to double team that wide receiver. We're going to try to take him out of the game, okay? In college, Wyatt, the chances of that happening when you X and O it up as a coach, getting the players to execute on that accurately is very unlikely. That's not what college players are taught. That's what Bill Belichick can do, okay? Bill yeah. Belichick and the Patriots. You understand what I'm saying? When they say they're going to double a guy, it's all about angles. Okay, like one guy's got to have the inside hip and the other guy's got to have the outside hip. One's got to be under, one's got to be over. If they're side by side, then they just throw the ball to the guy and he still catches it. It's hard to double team a guy. It's when people say, oh, we doubled him, that doesn't mean you still can't get him the ball. They've got to execute their double team skills so perfectly and in coordination with each other, or the receiver can still be open. I mean, how often have you seen Tylan Wallace get a back shoulder high throw where he jumps up over the defender, catches it near the sideline, taps his foot down? You could have four guys guarding him, Wyatt, right, and he still gets the catch. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's not just strategically. I just don't think K-State down after down can do it, because like I said, no one can do that. If you know what's coming, the offense will hurt you. But the other thing is, how much do you want to put two defenders on Tylan Wallace when they're not used to having to play a player like he's a star that much? I mean, most college defenses roll one way. They do different things, but they don't literally go out man-to-man and shut people down. That's the NFL level of defense, okay? Yeah. So I just want to, you know, let people know you can't get on the defensive coordinator. If Oklahoma State can get the ball accurately thrown to their guy and he makes catches, you can say we're double-teaming him, but it's not easy. So this is going to be hard. Oklahoma State causes you a lot of problems. You just got to hope a couple throws are overthrown slightly. Maybe he drops one. Maybe you knock one away and you limit his damage. But K-State's going to have to mix things up, constantly be on the move and trying to keep Oklahoma State off balance. Just don't let them know exactly what you're doing, and then hold your breath and hope your guys tackle, right? I mean, that's what K-State needs to do, is tackle effectively. First guy get there, don't miss a tackle. Second guy get there, squeeze it, maybe knock a ball loose, create a turnover, those kind of things.
Well, it certainly is going to be a challenge, but let's just say this straight up. It is one that the Wildcats, I think, will look forward to. We're excited about the opportunity. Number 14, Oklahoma State. Number 6 a week ago, coming in here 4-1, 3-1 in conference play. K-State is 4-2 and 4-1, and we'll have it for you on the network Saturday at 1 o'clock. We'll kick at either 3:05 or 3:10 on Fox National Television. Our program today presented by Kansas Land Tire and by Authentic Brand Apparel. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. Thanks so much for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat Podcast, presented by Authentic Brand and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation.